In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we hear a very familiar story. And it's simple, but also it's complicated. The scripture's like this. There's generally a surface meaning that's pretty readily apparent. And then there are layers of other meanings that are quite important. Now, some of the meanings in this story about the feeding of the 5,000 are really right there for us to understand and for us to apply. Because when you read the gospel, it's about how you should live. So it's telling you something. Always read the gospel or any part of the scripture with expectation. You're being taught something. It is as if you are sitting at Jesus' feet, learning the one thing needful. And the gospel teaches this better than anything else. So let us see some of the apparent meanings, the open and obvious meanings of this story, and then let's see some other layers of it. It's Jesus, it says, went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them. So he healed their sick. He did more than that. He healed those that were sick. He also, as we see in a minute, fed those who were hungry. And he taught those who needed to know of the truth, who were hungry for the truth. So our Lord, because of his compassion, ministered to all the needs of everyone. Now this might seem very obvious, but that's the way we should be too. We have two eyes, we have two ears, we have intuition, which the Lord gives to us. We should use it. We should be aware that there is always need everywhere. And we should be moved to compassion for those who have need. Whether or not they appear to deserve help or not, none of us deserve anything. We all deserve death, and yet the Lord wants us to have life. So be aware of people's needs. Be open to them. Be compassionate concerning them. And whether it be just that you give a word of encouragement or that you pray for them, that's very important. Write down their name, by the way. Don't just say, I'll pray for you, and then go on with your day and forget about it. Write down their name so that you may pray for them and that they will be blessed, and you also, because God will see you showing mercy. So he will give mercy. And so the Lord shows, be open to people's needs. Be aware of them. Open your eyes and see. There's need everywhere. You don't need to be a priest to see it. It's everywhere. People are starving. In our world, people are more often starving from truth. There's very little truth in the world. There's very little meaning in the world. And people who have physical needs often and usually have a need for the truth. So provide for their physical needs or their emotional needs or their monetary needs, but also always be thinking of eternal things and how you can provide for their eternal needs. Because that's what the Lord did. He healed a lot of people, fed a lot of people, but he also was always trying to point them towards heaven. So that's the first and most obvious lesson right at the beginning of this reading. Be open to the needs of others and be compassionate. Sounds simple. But it is difficult because of our sins. What sin does is it closes you off. It makes you unaware of other people's needs. It makes you unaware of anything except yourself. So, the person who does not sin will be the most compassionate. So let us work to be holy. And as we become holy, we will become more compassionate. The two go together. Now, after the teaching was done, it was evening. It was a desert place. So his disciples come to him and say, This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. It was a place where there was no food. There was either no water or very little water. And there were many, many hungry mouths. 5,000 men besides women and children. So a crowd of, who knows, 20,000 or more? Well, there's a lot of desert places in our lives too. This is where there is a deeper meaning. Yes, we are to trust the Lord, because the Lord shows. You give them to eat, they have no idea what to do. They bring Him the small amount of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He multiplies it all. So we are to trust the Lord, and our small faith will be multiplied many times over. That's an obvious meaning. But a less obvious one, and a deeper one, and a more perfect understanding of this reading is that many times we are faced with desert places, and they sort of suck the life out of you. They sort of suck the faith out of you. It's hard to believe sometimes. Let's admit it. Oh yeah, we always believe in God. We believe in the resurrection. But it's sometimes hard to believe things are going to be okay, or that we're going to do anything that matters. Let's admit it. It happens. I don't think I'm the only one this happens to. I think this is part of the human condition. Remember the man who came to the Lord? In fact, just a little while ago, it was spoken of. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That unbelief comes from those desert places in our soul. It's always because of sin. If we had no sin, we would believe all the time. Our faith would be completely unshaken. We would never doubt, ever. We'd never be afraid, ever. But because of our sin, it cuts us off from God. Not because He turns His back on us, but because our sin diminishes our capacity to see God. And so, to the extent that we are full of sin, that is the extent to which we have anxiety, or to which we have lack of faith, or to which we have listlessness and kind of laziness and kind of going about our day and really feeling we're getting nothing done. Those are desert places. But the Lord is there in that desert place. He was right there in this desert. And all His disciples had to do was go to Him with an imperfect question. Do you notice? They didn't address Him properly, did they? He's the Lord of the universe. He created everything. They could say, Lord, the people have a need. Would You bless them to eat? No, instead they say, send them away. So they were thinking of them, but in a worldly sense, in a limited sense. The Lord says, you give them to eat. Teaching them that He's capable of doing everything. If we have belief, everything's possible. The mountain will move and be cast off into the sea. So, let us recognize that there are desert places in our lives. But the Lord is always in that desert. He is never far from us. And so we must reach out to Him, even if it's imperfectly, even if it's with not quite the right words, quite the right motives. Let the Lord correct the motives and the words, just as He did to His disciples. But reach out to Him with expectation, with belief, but also with the idea that you will do what He tells you. If we reach out to the Lord and He answers us, we cannot say, that's not the answer I wanted. We reach out and He teaches, and sometimes His words are soothing and comforting to us. And other times, they are astringent and they are painful to us. So, whatever they are, we must listen and then do. And so the disciples did listen. They asked their imperfect question, send them away please, because there's no food. And He says, you give them to eat. And so, they had more than enough from the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Now, just before he distributed this food, he gave thanks and he broke the bread. It's another obvious thing. Obvious, but I guess it needs to be said because we don't pray nearly enough. We don't give thanks to God nearly enough for all that He does for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ was modeling for us how we should act. Give thanks to God for all of His bounty. Every time. And so, pray. And give thanks to God for your food, for your raiment, for your home, for your health, and that He has brought you to the church. And give thanks unto God when you are faced with difficulties and trials, even if they are bitter, because sometimes medicine is bitter, but it is necessary in order to cause healing. Everything that happens is according to God's goodwill and purpose and for our salvation. So let us give thanks for it. Let's not forget this detail of giving thanks to God for all things, all the time. Now, there's a mystical meaning to how the Lord addresses His disciples and how many baskets were left after they fed. Remember, it was just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. These are little tiny loaves. They wouldn't be gigantic loaves of bread. But even so, for 20,000 people perhaps, that would be nothing. They wouldn't even fill even a third of a small basket. And so the Lord said, you give them to eat, because they were His disciples. To become His apostles, to send their words over all the earth, and to teach the whole world about Christ. So He was giving them a mandate. Just as when He told them to fish, when He says, let down your nets for a draught, both in the first time and especially the second time, that is also indicated to them. You are My chosen. Now go out and make disciples. And you choose others to spread My word to the entire world. And so He said, give them to eat. And they did. And then when everyone was finished, there were 12 baskets full, of course, the number of the 12 apostles. You see, in such a simple reading, a simple historical event, so much is present. We see the mandate of the apostles to lead the church, to be the princes of the church, and to teach us and to propagate the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ had given to them by His personal attention. They would give that faith to others by their personal attention. And it would go so on until this time and beyond. But we also see simple things, that we must be open to the needs of others and move with compassion towards them. You realize that most of the people in that crowd would not believe in Him. Many of them would say, crucify Him later on. But the Lord was moved to compassion for their needs. So, we should also be moved to compassion for everyone. And we should recognize that the Lord is present even when we have weak faith, even when we are in our desert place. But we must reach out to Him, whether it is with perfect words or imperfect words, or perfect feelings or imperfect ones. Reach out to Him, and He will teach you, and He will help you. And then, of course, we see that we should give thanks for all things, and that the apostles were appointed to teach us. And the structure of the church was being formed by our Lord's actions such as this. May God help us to read the Scripture with expectation, to understand the simple meanings and the deeper spiritual meanings. You're not going to understand it unless you be reading it. You make sure now that you don't have any dusty Bibles in your house. They should be used and read often because they are the words of life. May God help you in all things.